You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, flying solo today. My usual partner, Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, is unavailable as I'm recording this on Sunday night, so it's just me today. I'm going to talk a little bit about two potential Dodgers targets, one that there was news about this weekend of the Dodgers being interested, and one that more there were just some a couple coincidentally timed articles both suggesting the Dodgers maybe target this guy in a trade. So that's the plan for today. But first, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's talk first about DJ LeMahieu. There was a report this, well, you know, we've talked about LeMahieu a few times. There have been reports that the Dodgers are interested in LeMahieu. Some reports that they were talking to him, and there were a couple more of those reports this weekend. John Morosi said that the Dodgers are in on LeMahieu. MLB trade rumors quoted David Vasse as saying that the Dodgers are definitely in touch with DJ LeMahieu. I take the Vasse one with a little bit of a grain of salt. Maybe I don't know if it's fair. I just don't care much for Vasse, and I don't know that I believe that he's much of an insider. But, you know, he could be right. And it definitely makes sense. We've talked about why it makes sense. And I got to say, the more I think about LeMahieu, the more I like the idea, which is funny. 2 years ago, I wasn't on the LeMahieu train. I didn't think he was a bad hitter, but I didn't expect him to leave Coors Field and become an even better hitter. He surprised me, and that tells me a lot. I think he's probably a very good hitter, and I like what he would bring to the Dodgers defensively and offensively. I think my first choice would still be to have Justin Turner back, but I also, as I've said before, I'm expecting the National League to have the DH again, and so there's no reason they couldn't sign both guys. I obviously, money is a partial reason. We'll talk about that in a minute, but just as far as having room for the guys, there's no reason they couldn't sign JT and LeMahieu. And LeMahieu, I think he would solidify a lineup. You know, Justin Turner, in the 2020 season, he didn't have much power. And we've seen in the past that, you know, he often doesn't have much power early in the season, and maybe it's an early in the season thing and not necessarily an April thing. And so maybe 60 games just wasn't long enough for him to really get his power stroke going. But, you know, we talked during the World Series, his bat looked a little bit slow. And then, as you know, he did go out and hit home runs in the next two games after we talked about maybe he needed a day off. And so he somewhat proved us wrong. But I think it's still kind of undeniable that the JT's bat has slowed down a little bit. And at his age, it's kind of a question of how much more does he have in the tank? And if he's, you know, really looking for a three-year deal, like the reports say, you know, I don't know if that's the right fit. I do think he wants to be a Dodger. I think he loves being a Dodger. I think his wife loves being a Dodger. And so I think the Dodgers have an advantage there. But, you know, they're going to have to, he's not going to take too big a discount. This is his last contract. And, you know, he rightfully should be going for as much money as he can get. As for LeMahieu, you know, rumors are that he's looking for 5 years, and he's 32 years old. A five-year contract is risky. The one reason that I think it maybe makes sense is just because, you know, if you can give him, it's most likely LeMahieu's last contract too, just at his age and everything. And so if you can give him the money he wants, but spread it out over more years, everybody wins because from a, you know, the luxury tax standpoint, luxury tax is based on the average annual value of the contract. And so giving him a 5-year, $100 million contract is better for them than giving him a 4-year, $100 million contract because it saves $5 million per year on the luxury tax. Chances are if the Dodgers sign either of those guys, they're going to be over the luxury tax. But it's the first time. Going over the first time isn't really that steep. It's not until you go over the third or fourth straight time that you start to really get into some stricter penalties. And they do have a lot of money coming off the books after the 2021 season. Obviously, some of that, you know, Corey Seager and Clayton Kershaw, you hope that there will be money replacing those. Seager's salary probably going up and Kershaw's probably going down. But there's other guys, Kenley Jansen, Chris Taylor, a few other guys who are Joe Kelly coming off the payroll after 2021. And so, you know, they might be able to work it out so that they take a 1-year luxury tax hit, but then reset if that's important to them. I think it's probably more the draft picks than the actual luxury tax money that would be an issue. But, you know, they are a business, and when you have a team that's owned by an investment group, they're going to be trying to maximize their dollars and not needlessly pay penalties. So, but I think bringing in LeMahieu and Justin Turner, that adds two right-handed bats to their lineup. And, you know, it really solidifies that lineup. Assuming they do have the DH, you can give JT some days off, whether he's the full-time DH or, you know, have LeMahieu playing some second, some third, with Gavin Lux getting some time off. You know, LeMahieu brings that positional flexibility. And yeah, it seems like that's a pretty good fit, LeMahieu to the Dodgers. And so when you have the opportunity to take the best team in baseball, the best lineup in baseball, and add DJ LeMahieu to it, it seems like a no-brainer. And there's always risks with long-term contracts with guys in their 30s, and the Dodgers have in the past been reluctant to take those risks, also considering he rejected the Yankees qualifying offer, which means it would cost them a draft pick. So there are considerations, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if in the next week or two we find out that the Dodgers have signed DJ LeMahieu, and I am not opposed to that at all. So in a minute, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about a potential trade target for the Dodgers that has been getting some pub in the Dodgers blogosphere, I guess. But first, let's talk about betting on sports. If you're an NFL fan, you know that NFL season ended this weekend and all the playoff matchups are set. And if you are looking to bet on football, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, and that's betonline.ag. You sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. And, you know, what better time if you are into the NFL and the playoffs, what better time to get into it? So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It used to be the best tasting protein bar ever, and then they made it even better tasting. Better tasting? Bester tasting? Whatever it was, it's even more bester now. And they have 18 different flavors. They're all delicious, all covered in chocolate. And the crazy thing is they're super healthy. They are super low in carbs. You know, most of them have 4 or 5 grams of sugar and carbs, very low calorie, usually 130 to 180 calories, and a ton of protein, you know, 18, 17, 20 grams of protein per bar. And so if you're doing keto, it's great. They're low carb enough for that. If you're just trying to lose weight, they're great. If you're trying to build muscle, they're great. If you just like things that taste delicious and don't make you feel guilty, they're great. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use promo code LOCKEDON, you will get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, we are back. I am back, I should say. And I'm going to talk a little bit about a potential trade target. There were two articles this weekend published within a couple hours of each other. And depending on how much you're willing to give people the benefit of the doubt, maybe one was not plagiarizing. The dude definitely put it into his own words, but maybe cribbing some ideas from Dodgers Nation. But the articles were about the possibility of the Dodgers, instead of going after a guy like Trevor Bauer for the starting rotation, instead trading for Trevor Bauer's former teammate, Luis Castillo of the Reds. And so I just want to talk about that idea a little bit. The Dodgers Nation article suggested a trade package that I frankly, I don't think it would get it done. It was Keibert Ruiz, Matt Beatty, and two other guys that I can't remember right now, but it was guys that the Dodgers wouldn't miss. They just don't have, it wasn't any of, other than Ruiz, it wasn't any of their top prospects. And I feel like that's not going to get it done. I might be, as you guys remember, when I had Keith Law on the show a few months ago, he is not nearly as high on Keibert Ruiz as some other prospect people are. And so maybe that's coloring my judgment. I wonder how other teams feel about Keibert Ruiz and if they value him as highly. Because if they don't, then I do expect Keibert to get traded at some point because there's not really a spot for him on the big league roster. He's on the 40-man roster, and so it's kind of a waste a little bit. And so if the Dodgers can get some value for him, I do expect him to be traded. And honestly, Matt Beatty is a perfect candidate to be traded. As much as that bums me out, I really like Matt Beatty as a person and as a player. But he's a guy who just doesn't really have a spot. And we saw in 2020, he hardly got any at-bats at all. And I do love his ability to put up a good at-bat, but I think he might be a guy who would benefit from being on less of a contending team, less of a stacked team. He could be a starter on a lot of teams in baseball. And so for his sake, and, you know, I think that makes sense. I think Ryan Pepiot was another one in the Dodgers Nation article. He was a recent draft pick, throws hard, not super close to the big leagues, or, you know, not a top prospect. And so, you know, there are guys there, but I feel like to get Luis Castillo away from the Reds, it's going to take more than that. And that's where, you know, if they could really get it for that package that the Dodgers Nation suggested, I am 1,000% on board. Castillo is going into his first arbitration year. And so he's, you know, he's starting to make some money. He has really, really good stuff. He has 3 years of team control left. And so there's value there. And he's a guy who I could picture really, really flourishing as a Dodger just with his stuff and with the Dodgers' track record of developing pitchers. And the Reds are solid in that regard too, at least recently. But, you know, I could see him coming in and not feeling the pressure to be the ace, slotting into a rotation with, you know, with Kershaw and Buehler and David Price and whoever else. I mean, if you look at, We've talked in the past about how the Dodgers really have six starters, but, you know, there's definitely, you can make a place for Luis Castillo. It's hard to upgrade a rotation like the Dodgers, but Luis Castillo would be an upgrade. It would open up more questions about who do you bump to the bullpen. Maybe one of the guys is going back in the trade, you know, Tony Gonsolin or somebody. But even then, you know, you'd still, even if they traded Gonsolin, you'd be looking at either Dustin May or Julio Urias going to the bullpen. And I don't know that that makes sense for either of them. I think Julio is definitely at the point where he needs to be a starter and get that opportunity. And so, and maybe Dustin May, you know, if he can't develop that third pitch, or maybe he works on that in the bullpen and steps in case of an injury. And let's face it, chances are, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be need for a sixth starter at some point. And so you don't want to go into the season with just five guys anyway. And so, you know, but Luis Castillo specifically has such good stuff. He's a strikeout machine, and, you know, his command is pretty good. You know, maybe they could work on that a little bit. But he is just an outstanding pitcher. And so, like I said, it's hard to upgrade a team like the Dodgers, but Luis Castillo would be an upgrade. And we talked about with the Padres situation last week, the whole point of having a good farm system is some of the guys you bring up to the big leagues and some of the guys you end up trading to get other guys for your big league roster. And so, you know, a Keibert Ruiz guy is a perfect trade candidate because he presumably has value. He's a good player, and there's not really room for him on the Dodgers. It's kind of the, not quite the same, but kind of the Willie Calhoun situation when they traded him for Yu Darvish. He was a guy who had more value to the Rangers because they had room to play him. And there might be a team, I don't know, with the Reds having Tucker Barnhart, I don't know what they're thinking long-term at catcher. So I don't know if Ruiz is a guy who would interest them. But somebody, there has to be some team that might look at Keibert Ruiz and say, that's a guy who we would like to go after. And the Dodgers should use that to their advantage and bolster the big league roster. And if Ruiz could headline a trade for Luis Castillo, I am 1,000% on board. I am dubious that that's possible, that he would be the headliner. I think they might, you know, to get a guy like Luis Castillo, you might have to give up a Gavin Lux. And I don't know how I feel about that. I still think Gavin Lux is going to be a very good player. But, you know, Luis Castillo is, you know, kind of a parallel. It's not exactly the same situation, obviously. But I was never on board with any of the Alex Verdugo trade rumors I heard for a few years until it was Mookie Betts that he was being traded for. And then I was 1,000% on board because Mookie Betts is a guy you give up your top prospects for. And so Alex Verdugo going to the Red Sox for Mookie Betts, I was sad to see Duggie go, but it's Mookie Betts. And Luis Castillo isn't Mookie Betts, obviously. You know, he's not even the pitching equivalent of Mookie Betts. But also, I don't think Keibert Ruiz, or, you know, but Gavin Lux, you know, I don't know where he stands compared to Alex Verdugo. But yeah, you know, Luis Castillo is approaching the kind of person who I would be okay with the Dodgers giving up Gavin Lux for. I don't know for sure, but it's getting there. I'm close on that. And I don't know what the Dodgers' long-term plans are for Lux. I do think they'd be kind of selling low on him, and I don't like that idea because I do think he's going to be a very good player. But having a postseason rotation of Buehler, Kershaw, Castillo, Urias, you know, some combination with Price and May, you know, I mean, there's so many. It really, really would be not that the Dodgers need to answer the Padres situation, but I could see Castillo being a guy coming in specifically in the Dodgers division and in the postseason and really, really bolstering that rotation. So, you know, I don't know if it's even on their radar. Like I said, this was too. Similarly timed articles, one of which was most likely cribbed from the other. And so it's really one person talking and another person copying. And so it's probably not even realistic, but it's one of those things that, you know, A, there's no actual news going on, and so it's fun to talk about. And B, Luis Castillo is high on my wish list. I really like him as a pitcher. I would love to see him in Dodger blue. So, I'd love to hear what you guys think. If you have any thoughts on LeMahieu or Castillo or anything else, let me know. Thanks for listening. Vince will hopefully be back with me tomorrow. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, go ahead and subscribe there. That helps other people find us. So even if you don't use it, subscribe there. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open in all of those places. You can add us. You can DM us, whatever you want to do. You can also email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!